to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'll ask you to stand in honor of God's word. Begin reading in verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. As Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." I want you to take note of verse number 13 and verse number 14. This morning the Bible says in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God." And I want to preach on this morning. "For this cause also thank we God." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us to open thy word, to read thy word. Now, Lord, as the message is delivered, I pray that we would hear thy word. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to preach in the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, I need you desperately. I can't do this on my own. So, Lord, this morning I ask that you'd fill me with the Spirit of God. And I pray for all that hear, Lord, that they would be attentive. And, Lord, that they would come to an understanding of your love for them. And if there's one here without Christ as Savior, I pray that today they'd come to know you. Lord, if there's one here that's not as close to you as they once were, I pray that this day you would bring them back to yourself. And I pray for those that are fighting the fight of faith and trying to live for thee, that's going through the battles. I pray for the encouragement that's needed in their lives. We give this time to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful with it. Help us not to waste it. But, Lord, I pray that it would be a time used wisely. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. When you read the epistles to the Thessalonians, you're going to find out that the church at Thessalonica was a very special place to Paul. He loved this church. And you could find as you read it, as you study Paul's life and Paul's writings, you're going to find that there's sometimes as he's reading, he has a comfort level with certain groups of people. And we see here that as he's reading these things, he feels comfortable with these people. He has a special feeling, if you will, or a special love. He could share just what's in his heart and in his mind. And when we read this, it almost reads like an interview with three of the great servants of the Lord. We find him. Chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church at Thessalonica," or the church of the Thessalonians. That's, of course, Paul and Silas and Timothy. And they're sending their greeting to this church. They're writing to them of some special things. And then we come to verse 13 and 14. And as we do, we hear how these holy men of God love the gospel, and they preach the gospel, and they saw the gospel take hold of these believers' hearts. They're able to tell the story of their great experience with the Lord and with the church at Thessalonica from the very beginning. I'm telling you, dear friends, it's a wonderful thing to have liberty to talk with people and to preach to people. There's a wonderful thing when you have an understanding that there's a freedom that's there. It's a blessing to any preacher to feel free in the pulpit to preach the gospel and to express the results of the gospel. And I've been to so many churches where preachers are bound. Preachers are not liberated at all in being able to preach the message. They're told how long to preach, what they can preach and what they cannot preach. It sure is good to be in a place where you can stand up, take the Bible, open it up, read it, preach it, and just thunder it out. Amen? Amen. I want you to know I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a church that's like that. Paul said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." There's three things in these verses 13 and 14, that I want us to look at this morning. And I believe it that this is for the saved and for the unsaved. And I want God to help me to give it, just like Paul would give it if he were here. I don't imagine anybody could do such a thing. I'd love to have heard Paul preach maybe once. I've always told people, I don't know that I could have stood more than once, you know, because he would tell me exactly what I needed to hear and not necessarily what I wanted to hear. But that's what a preacher does, isn't he? A preacher that's called of God, he's going to tell you what you need to hear, not always what you want to hear. I like it when we have those sermons where, buddy, I mean to get up and preach that message and people shouting and it's all exciting and, you know, everybody loves the preacher when it's done. But every now and then God says, I want you to preach this. And I say, whoa, hey, whoa, you know. But I tell you, I've never preached a message here that I didn't have the liberty to preach. That's a wonderful thing. But as we look at these two verses of Scripture this morning, I want you to understand, for this cause also thank we God. I think that we ought to be thankful to God every day. When we talk about Thanksgiving and we understand that we celebrate Thanksgiving, but every day of our life we ought to be thankful to God for what we have and for who we are in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to look at three things this morning from these two verses, verse 13 and 14. Number one, I want you to see the praise of the messenger. The praise of the messenger. Notice what the Bible says in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Now I want you to notice that little word, we, that's used here. Thank we God. Here's three men of God that were used of God in a great and a mighty way. They all three joined praising the Lord, for they were all in the word together. I want to tell you what's going to cause us to have those kind of services around here where we all join together in praising our Lord. It's when we are in this work together. It's when we come together, when we realize that every one of us have a responsibility, every one of us have a job, and every one of us have a privilege of doing something for God. Now, everybody's not going to be a Sunday school teacher. Everybody's not going to be the pastor. Everybody's not going to sing a song. But every one of us can participate in the work of God that's going on in this local church. But these messengers were praising God for what He had done in their lives. And this is where it all begins, when we start thinking about what God's done for us. You want to talk about a time where we're going to have one of those services where the Lord is lifted up and exalted. It's when we begin to think about what Christ has done for us. They were thankful, first of all, for the grace that had saved them. Notice what the Bible says in chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they had experienced the marvelous grace of God. And they realized that everything they had was because of this grace. Every blessing they had was because of the marvelous grace of God. And they were exhorting the church at Thessalonica. They said, grace be unto you. Now, they couldn't say that if they didn't have a knowledge of what this grace was all about. See, they were conscious that it was God's grace that had saved them, and that it was God's grace that was keeping them, and that it was God's grace that was guiding them along the way. Here's some men that went through a lot of different battles, a lot of different things, but we find that these were men that were thankful for the grace that had saved them. Not only for that, they were thankful for the God that had called them. Back in chapter number 2 and verse number 4, the Bible said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Here's three men of God, three messengers that were praising the Lord that God had called them to preach and entrusted them with the gospel. Like I said this morning, God may not have called you to preach, but I'm telling you, dear friend, God has entrusted you with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you can take the gospel message and it can help anybody? Do you realize that there's not a wrong person that you can give the gospel to? You say, well, who do I give it to? Well, if you give it to somebody that's saved, they ought to appreciate it. And if you give it to somebody that's lost, they're either going to listen to you or they're going to turn you away, but it's not the wrong person. You can't give it to the wrong person. They were thankful for the God that had called them. If God saved you today, you ought to be thankful that He saved you, and you ought to be thankful that He's called you to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into this lost and dying world. You know, there's five times the Great Commission is given to us. It's given to us in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John, and in the book of Acts. And every one of them says, go. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And as you're a witness to these things, you're to witness to others, the Bible says. Be ye witnesses of these things. The Bible says, And you shall be endued with power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Go ye therefore, the Bible says, into Jerusalem, and into Judea, and into all Samaria, and unto the uttermost part there. See, what the Bible is teaching us is that we are to go with the gospel. Now, God may not call us to go to Africa. He may not call us to go to Asia. He may not call us to go to another state. But God has called every one of us to go with the gospel. God's called us. They were thankful that God had called them. And you go study the life of Paul and Silas. Go look at where all they were. Look at the things they went through. They were just thankful that God called them. And I'm telling you, dear friend, we have so much to praise the Lord for today. We have so much to be thankful for. They were thankful for the glory that they were expecting. Not only they were thankful for the grace that had saved them, they were thankful for the God that had called them, and they were thankful for the glory they were expecting. The Bible says in chapter number 1, in verse number 10, as he was writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath of God, from the wrath to come, excuse me. They had cause to thank God. First of all, he saved them. What a Savior. We were singing this morning those songs, and they were singing, I will glory in the cross. And I love that song. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. That's a good song, isn't it? Now, that's one that makes you want to stand up and shout, you know? I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy. But in Jesus, that's where it's all at. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Christ and Christ in us. They were thankful for the God, for the grace that had saved them. They were thankful for the God that had called them. But dear friends, they were thankful for the glory they were expecting. They knew that God had saved them. They knew that God had called them. And they knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming again for them. I'm telling you, dear friends, we ought to get excited in this world, because as bad as this world gets, it'll never get so bad. When it's too bad, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to split open the eastern sky. He's going to call us out of here. And dear friends, we're going to be with Him forever. It's a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful thing. This kind of thankfulness that these servants had, I'm telling you, it was a continual thanksgiving. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. You know what they were saying? We just have thanksgiving all the time. We thank God all the time. They were always reminding themselves of the grace of God. They were always reminding themselves of the calling of God. And they were always reminding themselves of the promise of His return. And they realized that it couldn't get too bad in this world, because God was on His throne. God's going to take care of them. They knew that this God that had called them, that as they lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, that knowledge of Him as their Savior, they knew that at any moment He could come. And they were looking for Him, by the way. Paul believed that Christ was going to return before he died. Here we are 2,000 years later, and the Lord still hasn't returned, but that hope's still within us, isn't it? Amen. I still get excited when I think about Jesus coming. Amen. I look at the world, I see all that's going on, and sometimes I think, boy, how bad's it going to be? How bad can it get? I see unrest on every side. Socially, there's unrest. Politically, there's unrest. Financially, there is unrest. Everywhere you look, there is unrest. But we don't find rest in this world. We don't find rest in our relationships to the world. We don't find rest in the politics of this world. We don't find rest in the finances of this world. The Bible teaches us that we find rest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what this world may hurl at us. It doesn't matter what this world may throw at us, we can find rest in Him. Oh, it's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to know Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we ought to be looking for Him to come. And when we think it's too bad, when we think that it's too far, I'm telling you, dear friend, the Bible teaches us that when it gets so bad, we're going to hear the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What a time. You ever tried to picture the rapture? You've seen pictures, right? Y'all seen the picture. I think there was a picture of Dallas, Texas. It was a real famous picture, and it showed all these car wrecks going on and airplanes coming down into the ground, and it sees all these people rising up. You know, I've tried to picture the rapture, and all I can think about is the Lord Jesus Christ standing there with His arms open wide, telling us to come up hither. I don't know what's going to be taking place, but I just know I have a Savior that loves me that's coming after me. Amen. That's the praise. See, that's why we have the message. That's the message we bring. It's not a message of gloom and doom. It's a message of hope and of glory. It's not a message when we tell people that their sin separates them from God. The message is that God sent His only begotten Son to save them from their sins. Amen. The praise of the messenger. We say, secondly, the privilege of the multitude. The privilege of the multitude. The Bible says, verse number 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Here's some people at Thessalonica that had heard the word of God. But they didn't just hear it and push it away, they received it. I'm telling you, the privilege was that they got to hear. Look. I'm not the most talented preacher. I understand that. There's people that have such eloquence, and there's people that can tell a lot more funny stories and get people laughing, and there's people that's got more winsome personality. But I'll tell you one thing. You ought to thank God that every time we come to a service here, you hear the Bible. And that's not bragging on me. That's bragging on Him. You hear the Bible. The privilege that you have in this church is that a Sunday school teacher is going to teach the Bible. A preacher is going to, I'm not going to have a preacher in here that's not going to preach the Bible. Amen. And if we have one that comes in and they don't preach the Bible, we'll not say anything, but they just won't be back. Right? That's how it is. You know? Now, don't you think that's the way it ought to be? I'm not going to embarrass him in front of anybody. And I don't expect you to say, but I just don't have to have him back. But you have a privilege. You ought to thank God for this church. You ought to thank God that you can come to a place that don't always tell you what you want to hear, but it tells you what you need to hear. It don't always tickle your ears. You don't always go away feeling, woohoo, I feel good, you know. Sometimes you go away thinking, boy, I need to do better. You know, I didn't realize it. I'm not as close to God as I used to be. The preacher, he got up, and he showed me from the Bible how I ought to be living. And I need to do better at this. It's a privilege. You know what I like? I like conviction. I like when the Spirit of God convicts me of my sin. I like that. If He didn't convict me, I'd be scared to death. You know? Because see, the Lord chastens those whom He loves. And every time He convicts me, He says, I love you. You know, I talk to my kids sometimes, and if we have to correct Faith or Joe, and if I have to correct them, you know what I'm saying to them as I'm blah, 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 you know how parents are. What needs to be said in about 2 seconds takes about 30 minutes to get done, and that's not a time for any of my children to say amen. But, you know, you start, but you know what we're saying the whole time we're talking to them like that? You know what we're saying? You know, when you need to do better at this and you need to do better at that and you know, this was wrong and blah, blah, and you just go on and on. And you know what we're saying the whole time? I love you. I love you. I love you. And when a preacher preaches the Word of God and the Bible is opened up and we hear the difficult things, God's saying, I love you. I love you. You can't live in sin and be right with me. I love you. You can't do that with your life and expect me to put my blessings on you. I'm telling you, it's because I love you. The privilege of the multitude was that they got to hear the Word of God. Well, now here we find as Paul was preaching to the Thessalonians, he was preaching to them, and he was just so excited because they began to understand something. And this is something that you must understand. When they received the Word of God, the Bible says they didn't receive it as the Word of men. If I'm standing up here and I'm declaring unto you the counsel of God, look, if I'm preaching the Bible, I'm not preaching to you my word. I'm preaching to you God's word. See what the Bible says? The Bible says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us. So Paul and Silas and Timothy were preaching the Bible, right? When you received what you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which worketh effectually, in also in you that believe. I love that. See, when we think about this, we begin to realize some wonderful things. Here are the Thessalonians, and they had the privilege of hearing the Word of God preached and the Word of God taught. And Paul was saying, you didn't receive it as our Word, you received it as God's Word. What's so important about that? Because I'm not infallible. I'm not inerrant. But the word that I preach is the infallible, the inerrant, and the inspired word of God. And dear friends, when I stand and preach the Bible, when somebody stands and teaches the Bible, when somebody else comes through and they open up the book, and they say, this is what thus saith the Lord, and you're reading it with them, and they're explaining that to you, it's a privilege. I don't recommend this. As a matter of fact, I can't forbid anybody to do anything, but if I could forbid you from watching most TV preachers, I would forbid you. If I could, I can't. It's your choice. But if you were to watch and to hear what's being said in the name of God today, it would turn your stomach. It would turn your stomach. So it's the privilege of the multitude here to hear the Bible. I'm glad we have the book, aren't you? I'm glad we have the blessed old book. We've been singing that song around here. I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible. His light on my pathway to shine. And it keeps me so happy. God's wonderful book. It's a wonderful book. We're a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-thumping church around here. And I'm not a bit ashamed of it. It's a privilege to me. Well, I tell you, I like to have preachers in, too, that I know is going to preach the Bible. You know what? There's two things I love. Number one, I love preaching. Number two, I love to hear preaching. Now, there's a lot of other things I love. It even goes beyond that. I love my family. I love my Lord. I love these. But, boy, I love to preach. But I love to hear preaching. It don't have to be loud preaching. You know, there's not many loud mouths like me. But and I'm glad nobody said amen. I was listening for Brother Gabriel to say, you got that right. I don't know. If you'd have been here in Sunday school, you'll know exactly why I said what I just said. Praise the Lord. But we have a privilege to be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and there's others around. There's others around. But dear friends, you ought to be thankful for that privilege. When we think about, for this cause also thank we God. We thank God because of that He's called us, that He saved us, that He's called us, and that He's coming for us. And then the multitude that gets to hear the Word of God, we ought to thank God for the privilege. But then I want you to see, thirdly, the proof of the miracle. See, there's proof about this. The Bible says in verse number 14, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." We're reading here about these people in Judea. They're strong Jewish people, no doubt, in Judea. But the Bible says there's another set of people. Another set of people over in Thessalonica that's been converted to Christ. And these are Greeks. Do you realize that when Jesus died, that He died for all? See, the proof of the miracle is that this word is good for everybody. Amen. He died for Americans. He died for Britons. He died for Chinese. He died for African. Red, yellow, black, white, Jesus died for all? Wow. The proof of the miracle is this message is good for anybody. Aren't you glad that God didn't look down from heaven and say, all right, white man can be saved, black man can't. Black man can be saved, but those Asians, they can't. That's not how God works, is it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. For this cause Jesus came into the world. Oh, I think about it. And my heart is thrilled. And I have a time of thanksgiving in the fact that Jesus died for all. Because if Jesus would not have died for all, then dear friends, I want to tell you, I fear I would have been left out. But because Jesus died for me, heaven's going to be my home. Just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting, as I'm standing where I'm standing, I want you to know, just as sure as that's taking place right now, there's a day I'm going to be walking on a street of gold. I'm going to be gazing on gates of pearl. I'm going to be enjoying walls of jasper. And I'm going to see coming out of the throne of God a pure crystal river. Amen. And I'm going to see the tree of life. What a time. What a happy time. Because the miracle is that the message is for everyone. These Greeks knew nothing about the law of Moses, knew little about the law of Moses. As we think about the Thessalonians, their upbringing would have had them just without knowledge of the law of Moses. And they'd been what was termed in the Bible, they'd been heathens and they'd worshipped idols. But when they're saved, the strange thing is they become just like those Jews. Oh yeah. Remember, Jesus came into His own received Him not. We understand that. Jesus came to die. He came for the Jews, but He died for all, right? We understand that. But they followed the same things. They suffered the same way. But dear friends, I want you to know, they're on their way to the same heaven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're on your way to heaven today, it's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not being a member of a church. It's not being baptized. It's not through good deeds. It's through the blood. Do you know that heaven's going to be your home? If you were to die right now, or if Jesus were to return, do you know that you know that you know? If you do, then we have so much to be thankful for. For this cause also, thank we God. And I stand before you this morning as a trophy of the amazing grace of God, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Listen, because of God's grace, heaven is mine. I hope you know that today. I'll ask you to bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. As we get ready, a time of invitation, a hymn of invitation. I want you to be tender to the Spirit this morning. As the Lord deals with